And so the question that was submitted was this: what does the Bible say about women being preachers or pastors? Now, some will occasionally ask this, whether women may serve in ministry. And we could rephrase that and immediately say, well, can women serve in ministry? And the answer is, yes, of course, all believers are called to serve and minister. But my answer becomes more difficult with nuance. If you were asked, can women serve in ministry? The answer is yes. But then if I nuanced that question and asked, are there ministry roles in which women may not serve in the church? The answer is as well, yes. But I could also make it more nuanced before I answer the question at hand and ask, are there ministry roles that men should not serve in the church? And the answer to that also could be yes. Now, the question wasn't about men, but I go ahead and address that at the beginning. But the New Testament does plainly teach on this issue. As we're addressing it, I'll acknowledge from the outset one other hairy thing that I'll acknowledge where I stand and my presuppositional position. My presuppositional, that's a key word that I'm struggling to get out of my mouth, position is that the office of pastor as described is overseer and elder. And so those four words, pastor, bishop, overseer, and elder, are used interchangeably in the New Testament. If you want passages for that, Acts 20:17, Acts 20:28, Titus 1:5 through 7, 1 Peter 5:1 and 2. And looking at Scripture as our answer then, we do come to one passage in particular and one book in particular that gives weight to this issue. And that book has to be 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is written, of course, and it tells us that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy also was written to Timothy by Paul in order that Timothy and others would know how to behave yourself in the church. So if there is a church manual book in the New Testament, 1 Timothy, and to some extent 2 Timothy, would certainly fit the bill. And in that fundamental text about the church, we read this passage that very few pastors I know of, though they would recognize the Bible to be inspired, would use this verse as their Sunday morning text. Not to say that it's not a good text, it's in the Bible. I just don't know many that would just choose to have this be their Sunday morning text. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, in this passage, Paul actually, and immediately we'll just kind of address the pretty clear teaching of two activities that are being read. Again, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority. Now again, by virtue of our understandings about elders and pastors and bishops and overseers, we know that there are two activities that are common to that position that are both forbidden here. Women are forbidden, pretty evidently in 1 Timothy 2:12, from teaching men. And women are forbidden from exercising authority from men over men in that same passage. Now, we see in the qualifications for the office of pastor that he must be, among other things, able to teach. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, and Titus 1, verse 9 all say that if you're going to be an elder or a pastor or a bishop, you need to be able to teach. Therefore, there's no such thing as a pastor so-and-so, whether man or otherwise, that does not teach or preach. That doesn't exist in the Bible. And secondly, in order to be a pastor, he must be able to lead, exercise authority. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 4, and 5, and 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. So subsequent to that, there's no such thing as a pastor who doesn't lead. But women are prohibited from teaching and exercising authority, both which are roles that a pastor must have. Now, that still doesn't answer the question. Because many would look at that text, especially 1 Timothy 2, verse 12, and understand it to be a text written a long time ago. And so the question they ask then, is this prohibition, it is a prohibition, there's no way to read it any other way. So then the question has to be, is this prohibition still in force today? 1 Timothy 2, verse 12 certainly is very clear. It's not much up for debate as far as what Paul was saying. So the question then becomes, was it specific to the time period Paul was writing, or can it be something that is extended throughout all eras? And there's different arguments. Many would argue that Paul is making this prohibition in 1 Timothy because the women of his day were uneducated and therefore lacked the ability to teach well. That's kind of one explanation you'll read in some commentaries. Well, they just weren't yet educated and therefore couldn't teach. That's why Paul wrote that. Others argue, based on 1 Timothy 1 verse 3 and 1 Timothy 6 verse 3, that the women in particular, the particular church Paul was writing to, were responsible for false teaching that was troubling the congregation, and therefore, because of that false teaching, Paul then says, I suffer them not to teach or usurp authority because they were teaching false teaching. Now, according to either of these reasonings, Paul then would support women serving as pastors or preachers if they did two things. They were properly educated and if they had sound doctrine. But the question then becomes, what is the basis for what Paul was saying? Again, Paul says, I suffer not the women to teach nor to usurp authority over man. And then you see verse 13. Here's his reasoning. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. So Paul's prohibition is not grounded in lack of education or false teaching. His prohibition is grounded in creation and not circumstances. And this is very key. We often see verses, and I joke, and I say, I'm thankful for chapters and verses. It'd be really hard to preach through a book of the Bible and instruct everybody to open somewhere to the middle of your scroll somewhere. It's nice to be able to say, open in your Bible chapter to this verse, and we can all be on the same page, literally, so to speak, in that way. But sometimes the negative can conversely hurt us. Sometimes we read them, especially if you have a Bible that may just have the verse divisions laid out, and you don't always see the paragraph form. We don't understand that Paul didn't stop his thought in verse 12 to begin a new thought in verse 13. This is the continuation of the same thought. So Paul is saying, quite literally, my reason for this is Adam was first formed, then Eve. Therefore, Paul's prohibition is grounded in creation, not circumstances. Paul could have easily written, I don't want women to teach because they are uneducated. He could have said that, but he didn't. He could have said, I don't want women to teach because they spread false doctrine. He could have said that, but he didn't say that. Paul reasons that Adam was first formed, then Eve. Paul says nothing of lack of education or promulgating false teaching. Instead, he appeals directly to creative order and to God's design then from the garden. But I like to use experts to help me in these type of things. Thomas Schreiner is a professor of New Testament interpretation at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, who the Wells daughter might have at one point, this professor. He says this, it is imperative to see that the reference to creation in 1 Timothy 2 indicates that the command for women not to teach or exercise authority over man is a transcultural word, I shouldn't say world, word. A prohibition that is binding on the church at all times and in all places. In giving this command, Paul does not appeal to fallen creation or to the consequences pertaining to human life as a result of sin. Rather, he grounds the prohibition in the holy good creation that existed before sin entered into the world. And the fundamental reason women should not serve as pastors is communicated here, so the argument from creation cannot be dismissed as culturally limited. Moreover, the New Testament contains many similar appeals to creative order to make their points, not just when it comes to pastors and preachers, but also it uses the very same language when it talks about homosexuality. Homosexuality is not in accordance with God's will because, and it's the same argument, creative order. It is contrary to nature. It's the very same argument that Paul is using. Here in Matthew, it says again, divorce is not the divine ideal, since at creation, God made one man and one woman, signifying one man and one woman should be married till death do us part. That's seen in Matthew chapter 19. Again, what is the reasoning? It's appealing to creative order. Likewise, all of our food should be received gratefully, since it is a gift from God's creative hand. He'll appeal to creative order later in the same book in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 11 through 14, Paul specifically grounds his prohibition of women teaching and exercising authority to the order of creation, namely, Adam was created first and then Eve. But Paul's still not done. Paul takes his argument a step further when explaining why women should not teach or exercise authority, when he says this in verse 14, and Adam was deceived, was not deceived, But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now, Paul's point here is clearly that not that women are somehow more prone to being deceived than men. That's not his point. Elsewhere, he commends women for being teachers, for being wise stewards of God's revelation. He'll say in Titus 2, verse 3, for example, the aged women likewise, that they be in a behavior that becomes holiness. I commend you. You have shown a holy lifestyle. And so he's not saying women are somehow more prone to temptation. That's not his point. And in 2 Timothy, he'll talk about the unfeigned faith of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice about Timothy himself. So Paul is not saying they're more prone to temptation at all. Paul is thinking here of how the creation account of the serpent is actually more of a subsequent towards the serpent's temptation than Eve. The serpent's temptation was a subversion of the created order by deceiving Eve first rather than Adam. Verse 14 does not teach women were educated, uneducated, for deceit is a moral category, whereas a lack of education is remedied through more instruction. Paul's point is that Satan's temptation of Eve, instead of Adam, subverted male leadership, for he deceived and tempted the woman, even though Adam was present in the garden. Indeed, even though Eve was deceived first by the serpent, the primary responsibility for sin in the New Testament still falls on whose shoulders? Adam's. So even though Eve was tempted first, God still recognized the creative order and put the responsibility on Adam, when we read, even on Sunday, wherefore is why one man sent into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, Romans 5, verse 12. So in summary, Paul forbids for them because of two things. The order of creation, that was one, and two, the reversal of roles that occurred at the fall. It's really important that we highlight the second as well, because there are some wrong teaching that will lead to, we could say, the conclusion women shouldn't teach, but their conclusion women shouldn't teach is, and I've heard it even preached as I was looking this up, well, it's because they're more prone to temptation. That is not, friend, at all what Paul is teaching. Paul is teaching two very clear things, the order of creation and the reversal of roles that occurred at the fall. And contextually, we must understand that. Paul is not saying that the woman is inferior or weaker in that sense. Paul, what he is saying is corroborating the testimony of Scripture throughout. We learned about this even in our study on the home. Husbands have primary responsibility and leadership in the home. We read that in Ephesians chapter 5, 22 and 23, Colossians 3, 18 and 19, and 1 Peter 3, verse 17. The mandate for men rather than women to serve as pastors then fits with the biblical mandate of men being and standing up to be counted as men. Be a leader. That's what they're saying. No, it is crucial to observe that a different role for women does not signify inferiority. That's why I began at the outset to say we could make this more nuanced than just asking about women and asking about men instead. Are there roles that men should not play in the church, that women should? Absolutely. Because the Bible does recognize that they are equally created in the image of God, they have equal access to salvation in Christ, they are joint heirs together in salvation. The biblical writers do not cast aspersion on the dignity, intelligence, or personhood of women. In fact, very opposite to that, the Bible elevates women higher than any other ancient document you'll read written during that time. And I challenge anybody to prove me wrong on that point. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 11, verse 15, then, is not the only text. I've explored one. For lack of time, we won't look at them. But you can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 33 through 6, which would explain the same truth. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 16. The Scripture does, though, clearly teach that there are unique roles for women in the church and in the home. They equal with men in dignity and value, but they have a different role during their earthly sojourn, and it's important that we have that. Really important that we have that. God has ordained that only men serve in positions for them, and God has ordained that only women serve in their positions for them. However, then, we also recognize that just because women can't teach men doesn't mean women can't be teachers. And that's really important as well. There's a longstanding joke in our family that my mom doesn't appreciate, but it's true. She's the best preacher in our family. She really is. she does a wonderful job expounding the truth to women. And my, how our culture needs that, because in my estimation, there can be a dearth of that oftentimes. Even good books written by women can sometimes be a dearth in that. You got all these good books written by men about the Bible and how to read your Bible. Where are all these other books written by women? It seems to be a certain lack of that in within broader Christianity. I'm thankful, by the way, for the one that the ladies get to go over together. It's really good. Even if your wife is in it, men, you should read it too. It's pretty good. But women are encouraged to teach other women. The Bible does not restrict women from teaching it, for children or other women. The only activity that is restricted is the teaching or having spiritual authority over men.